This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Knapsack for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Minigas ranking things in Star Wars, and this one's going to get weird because today we're looking at our favorite weirdos. These are the best of the background weirdos, and you know I can't do that show without the wonderful Joseph Scrimshaw joining the show. Joseph, welcome to the Weird Bowl.
I am happy to be here in the Weird Bowl. I don't care if I'm a background or a foreground weirdo. I'm just happy to be here and weird.
Excellent point, sir. Very insightful, as always, because we love the term background weirdos. We love grizzled old weirdos. You and I talk about those usually bartenders in Star Wars. But some of the weirdos are in the foreground, and Star Wars Ranked is it's the spirit of ranking more than the facts of ranking. And this episode, I literally think we could redo this one in 4 months and it would be entirely different. But the spirit would remain the same. So this is something that's close to our heart here. How are you defining weirdos in Star Wars, and what does that really mean to you?
I think for me, weirdo, and yes, we should definitely say that that is said with utter love. I think for me, it's characters who are alien,
yeah,
but like very, very alien compared to your standard humanoid character in Star Wars. But the ones that then pop are like that within that weirdness, they have some recognizable, what we would call humanity, because we're humans. Like that yeah. spark of person, like that's a great background weirdo to me, is yeah. a alien whose design is really, really different that makes you stand up and go, whoa, weird. But there's something about them, some charm, some personality that makes you want to like revisit and tweet about them.
Yeah. And look, it comes from the spirit of 77, the spirit of Lucas taking us to a galaxy far, far away. But it seems just like your neighborhood or your city, especially if it's on the smaller side. And I think a lot of that really starts in the cantina. And we could probably do an episode just of the weirdos in the cantina. And I know some big key ones are there that I think set the tone exactly for what you're saying. Wild galaxy, weird creatures, but we can connect with them and have empathy or just downright love them for little moments that bring them to the forefront. And some might be, even on this list here today, some might be wisps of characters you see in the background, and some might have bigger parts. We don't like to limit that. We just kind of like to see where we go with this, but that's why this episode will be titled Our Favorite Weirdos. And like Joseph said, again, we really mean that term, but just a great bit of affection. You weirdo, we come in here, have a drink. We love hanging out with you. So that's where we're at.
Exactly.
All right. We, as always, work away from 5-1. We'll throw some runner-ups in there a little bit later on, but we're going to begin this with your number 5.
My number 5 starts where we were just talking about the cantina, and you said, come in here and have a drink. That's what this character is about to me. I'm going for number 5. The weirdo who I think will always be on my list is Cabe. Cabe, of course, is a female Chadra fan. She is the small bat-like creature. Look, yeah. If that's all it was, if there was just one of those great montage shots of the cantina and she was just sitting at a table, I'd love Cabe. But the fact that Cabe's shot is reaching up to the bar, squealing for alcohol.
Yeah.
It just really puts her over the top for me. I'm looking on her Wikipedia page, and under personality and traits, it says, Cabe used her annoying high-pitched squeaks as an effective way to get the attention of Chalmers Cantina bartender Wu Hair. You know, yeah. It's just, you know, I think it's that look of that, you know, obviously there's just the sort of real world, you know, the reaching up to the bar sure. thing. But there's also just that feeling of you don't know what the deal is with this small mm-hmm. alien. That alien could be 8,000 years old, right? That alien could own the bar, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on, but just that, like, give me a drink. I want it now. Like, Cabe's the total opposite of Luke. Like,
yeah,
she knows how to get a drink at this bar.
Yeah. And see, and I've set you up a little bit for this pick. I really think this is the weirdo prime. I really think Cabe is what we're talking about and why it works. And there's so much going on in Star Wars. And there's, trust me, hammerheads and this and all these kind of characters that Kenner made figures of, you could really say that is it. But I think this is, it's that little thing of, even if you don't know Cabe the name or Chadra fan, you could talk to a Star Wars fan, but you know, the like kind of little mousy creature that's like, drink, drink, drink. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And that's why they stick with you and they remain with you. And then the stories you can tell from that little moment, it's just so, we've all been there. Give me, please. And I love it.
Yeah, it is that. It is that. There's that energy of a toddler who wants candy, but it's alcohol.
or me at a Del Taco drive-thru. It's all the same.
Yeah, exactly. When I drop cheese, I have that. Yeah. Come back here. Yeah, I'll say real quick, because you brought up Hammerhead, Moma Nadun. Got a good friend back in Minneapolis who's a couple years older than me who always described seeing A New Hope for the first time and wasn't connected enough to the you know, nascent nerd community at the time to be like, ooh, Star Wars is really different. And he was like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of Star Trek. We'll see.
Yeah.
And that Hammerhead was the one who was like, whoa, this is so weird. This is so different. So, you know, I would kind of put Hammerhead as an honorable mention. But what puts Cabe over the top is Hammerhead's just sitting there. Cabe is getting that drink.
And again, just makes the bar seem so real. That and Luke's tug on Wuhair's arm, like, hey, I don't belong here, but can I get one of those? Yeah,
I don't know the name of that, but could I have one? Yeah. So anyway, I could go on and on, so I'll stop myself. Cabe, Great. Cave is my number five.
Great start to the list. It is, like I said, weirdo prime in my mind. And we're going to my number five. And we're going all the way up to 2015. That's right. The Force Awakens gave me one of my favorite weirdos, and it's Tito. Now, as you know, Tito can be referred to one member of that species or all of them, a group. It's used in that way there. And we're talking about the Tito that Rey stops from taking BB-8, which might in many ways be the inciting incident for Rey's life. Why I love Tito. I love the design. I love the creature, which Tito rides high upon. But more than anything, I love when the battle ensues and Tama la Pacqua, whatever Rey says in the great little exchange there. And he's just like, ugh, take it. And then as she's having her wonderful, just wonderful, save the cat interaction with BB-8. This is why you love Rey, the antenna and everything. I love the sequence. Tito is riding away in the background, just mumbling to himself. And the was it Lugabeast is just go-goong. And he's not moving away fast. Like, he's going slow. And it is just wonderfully weird. And I'm not saying I wanted Tito to keep BB-8, you know, like that. But like, I've been there. I've just been riding away from the situation, just arguing with myself in the shower later on if I should have done this, I should have done that. And once I clued in on that, and I gotta say, the first couple times I watched the movie in the theaters, I don't think I was necessarily following the plight of Tito. But now anytime I watch that sequence, I watch it with two eyes, because I really do love the Rey stuff. I do really love the Daisy Ridley choices in that scene and the little subtle like tilt of her head, like, all right, come with me, BB-8. That's going on, but then I can't turn away from in the background.
Yeah, I love that sense of shared history between Rey and this Tito, or all Tito, however that works, and that they've kind of been through something like this dance before. Yes. But you know, even before you get the actual information from Encore Plutt, that this is a great find for Tito compared to the other crap he's got on that Lugabeast. Yeah. And you know that he just had like the best day of his life, and then Rey's like, nah. And then he's just walking away going, oh, God, I had it. I was going to make that sale. And then that person messed it up. Stupid God. And I only have these crappy beans for dinner, and I don't want those. And like, yeah, it's just so much spirit.
Yeah. And I believe if you put together bits of information, maybe even the novelization or a visual encyclopedia or dictionary or something like that, I think Rey's upset. Like, this is like my claim territory, is what Rey's kind of saying. I'm not talking about the exact translation, but basically she's like, what are you doing? This is my spot. And the fact that he's trying to get BB-8 in that spot. So Tito wants this victory, but knows that they cannot have this victory and has to begrudgingly accept it, is what I just love about it.
This is not Tito's victory. That's that's great. And I think very, very true. But yeah, just a ton of personality from Tito. And I think the Lugabeast is really cool too, that pulled it up, that you know, weird bit of mechanization on the Lugabeast's head is great too.
It's great stuff. So that is my number five, which means we're up to your number four.
My number four is a newer addition to the canon, but I think perhaps the absolute perfection of the background part of background weirdo, and that is from Star Wars Resistance, Oh Peep It. I think a lot of people out there love Oh Peep It. You know, if you're not familiar, he is a Fragosian male, but one of the things that's great about him is his appearance, right? Like, he's an alien, and he's got goggles and looks like, you know, a little hat, but a giant orange head. So he's just a cute little pumpkin guy. And it's one of those, you know, that push pull of Star Wars between looking cool to just looking bonkers to even looking silly, right? And Oh Peep It looks kind of silly in a like really, really fun way. Oh Peep It is also up there with Tito for a grumbling and mumbling to himself. Like, he's got some really great squeaks and squawks and mumbles and complaints under breath. But if you haven't watched Resistance, it is just a masterclass. We see Oh Peep It with his like big kind of industrial floor cleaner. It is specified that he is the only janitor on the Colossus platform, this massive, massive platform. And he is trying to keep it clean. And you see him buffing those floors. And then as we go on, he gets his vacuum thing taken away from him, his floor buffer taken away from him. And then he's got a manual mop that he's not happy about. And then there's some great moments where he's, just cleaned something and then somebody makes a huge mess and he's got like the classic kind of sitcom. And it's just a great, great slow build. First you can kind of notice him in the background and then his story continues, but always in the background.
I love that kind of little storytelling. There's many other examples of that, but it always, I can't remember if I've mentioned this when we were doing some of the resistance conversation stuff, but there's the janitor in the movie version of Election from 99 with Reese Witherspoon, Matthew Broderick. There's the school janitor that watches Matthew Broderick throw something on the ground and not pick it up in the opening of the movie and in the introduction of Broderick's character. And it's a fun little cutaway, but that janitor factors into the plot later on. And it's because of his just absolute anger, frustration, and just the spite he has in one shot. And a peep, it's got more content to mine through, but it's just there. It's there and it's present. And it's this working class hero just trying to get his job done. And the Star Wars is in the way of it. And I love that. I love that about a peep.
Yeah. Just the talk about making you feel for a character. He is relatable because he's a working class hero. You know, the great thing about Resistance is the Colossus is, you know, a place of intrigue and action and the daring pilots. But it's also people who are just like trying to sell goods and get by, and OPB is just trying to keep this place clean. So you really feel for him. And then you really get to know, like, oh, he's got his floor cleaner, you know, and like, yeah. Oh, now the one thing we know about him has been taken. I remember the fury I felt, like, no, you don't mess with his floor sweeping machine, floor cleaning machine. So yeah, Opeepit is absolutely great. And I, you know, in my mind, he's in one of those ships in the Citizens fleet. Maybe he's still on the Colossus cleaning away.
I love that idea. Yeah, I love that. Oh, great. And the mention of Opeepit on a recent Force Center, which is what prompted you and I to come up with this topic off air. I'm like, yeah, we have to talk about Opeepit there. So my number four, I got to tell you, we always say these lists are hard put together. I really think next week I'd come up with a different list just based on, there's so many of these characters to choose from. And a lot of it's just your emotional reaction to them or what they make you think about. And I couldn't move away. I tried to move this character off the list or the runner-ups. And I ended up just putting this character in because I think it provided comfort for me that the tradition of weirdos was going to continue when Star Wars returned in 2015. And that is Baba Joe for Force. I got to tell you, Databank Brawl, the show that's currently here on a hiatus of Force Center, it'll be back one day when we can be more comfortably in person and feed off each other's improvisations. It was the show you brought to us, Joseph, that early on, it kind of was celebrating the weirdos of the galaxy and getting putting them in situations they're normally in and giving them their day. And I think Baba Joe is part of that inspiration for me. So anyways, hey, Baba Joe, for those who just aren't familiar and you're listening here, Baba Joe is a male Lucasian, who is, on Jakku in the Neem Outpost and is the first character kind of revealed to us in the lead up to Force Awakens. There was the J.J. Abrams Force for Change kind of promotional video. I think the character was in and around there and they unveiled the character like, look, we're doing practical, even though we're doing more CGI than the prequels, we're doing practical. And Baba Joe with the cases of, game, I guess you could say, the cages on his back, the hunched over, the beard, the warm kind of inviting kind of elderly face and the slow stomping around. It was one of the things for me that I just like, that is a Star Wars weirdo. And I'm happy that this is going to be part of what is coming down the pipeline for us. And therefore, it's hard not to see Baba Joe anytime I watch that movie as well. Just like I say, I can't turn away from Tito. I can't turn away from Baba Joe and want to know Baba Joe's story.
Yeah, I think he has a special place because of that video for sure. Mm-hmm. But also he's got a great different energy. You know, he looks sort of a grandparently, right? Mm-hmm. And he's got that stooped walk, and it seems like the kind of person who's going to have a story for you. And then when you realize, which we did from doing Data Bank Brawl back in the day, that all that stuff on his back is a bunch of animals. And then you realize you can see it in the movie if you look.
Yes. Yes.
It just makes him such a contrast. So like, look at all the different people who are trying to get by on this planet, from, you know, Unkar's, you know, vicious thugs to Tito, and everybody's, you know, trying to get machine parts. And then here's this calm old guy who's collecting animals. Did he try to sell Ray a pet at some point? Are they food? What's going on there? You know, it's great.
Yeah. You know, and I'd still give me a remote controlled Baba Joe. You know, we got the remote controlled BB-8 from that time frame, but like just a thumping along figure that I can control with a radio controller. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And looks like they expanded his story in the book, All Creatures, or the story, All Creatures Great and Small, from Tales from a Galaxy Far, Far Away, Aliens, Volume 1. There you go.
That is right. That is right. So that is my number 4, The Great Baba Joe, which means we're up to your number 3.
My number 3 is kind of a weird one. My number 3, I included because he just haunts me. I have seen this character in the background of The Phantom Menace and a couple shots of Phantom Menace, and always been like, cool, great, some alien variety. I like that design. But then I got obsessed because it was one of my sessions of really studying hard for the trivia contest, the movie trivia Schmodown Star Wars contest that we've both participated in. And I was like, I don't know that character's name. And it took me a while, lots of different ways to Google it, and finally found it. And then I wrote it down for future memory. And since then, just been obsessed with him. It is one of the aliens who's in Watto's box at the pod race. And their name is Graxel Calvin.
Yes.
With two Y's in Calvin. Graxel Calvin. And if you can't picture Graxel Calvin right away, incredibly tall, but is sitting down, long limbs, big cloak, super wide face with this incredibly tall horn head, and then like a little horn chin. And I think I'd like him because he's just a cool design, particularly in The Phantom Menace. You know, it took me a little while. Now I love the variety of designs, but you know, a lot of the aliens were like, oh, they're a little bit more CGI, or they're a little bit more, you know, kind of cute and compact, you know. And I love my team toe, Peglius. I consider him a star, not a background weirdo.
Sure. Yes.
But Graxel Calvin is a little bit more in the, I could have pictured him in A New Hope cantina.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think my mind always went to him. And I don't think we know anything else about this character in modern canon, except he was sitting there in that box. And sometimes listeners are kind enough to send us some toys. One of the toys that got sent to us was a set of 3 action figures in Watto's box. And so now I have a Graxel Calvin action figure. So I've been staring at him as well.
Love the description. Calvin had creamy white skin and wore blue and orange robes with a silver necklace and a high red collar. It's just a lot of colors in this tableau here that we're staring at. Love this character. Love just Watto's box is a treasure trove of weirdos. this is again part of no matter what you thought of The Phantom Menace at the time, maybe you came out of it going, nah, it's kind of hard to turn away from some of the very Star Warsy stuff that you did see there. And this is one of those characters for me where I'm just like, the horn, I think it's because it looks like a, almost like a Baba Joe white wispy beard, but it's a horn. And it adds to the aesthetic. And it's such a wonderfully designed character.
Yeah. I just got energy the way it's kind of stooped down with a little bit of like a relatable bad posture. But then that horn just flailing up to the sky. It makes me really like good old Graxel Calvin. And part of me kind of feels like, I hope we never learn anything about him. He was never seen again.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to know. I like that idea.
Yeah. So that's my number 3, Graxel Calvin.
That's your number 3, and now we're going to my number 3. And like Joseph said, you know, what for background weirdo, foreground weirdo, you know, Team Toe Plagueis, that's a superstar in Joseph's Star Wars landscape. So I played with the description and what I believed background weirdos meant to be today, and I've got some different answers a little bit later on. But this one is truly a blink How could you miss this character? It has a big part in the movie Solo for a second. It is Carge. That's right. Carge, who is a male Kroken, by the way. And if you're like, hey, that character looks like a crocodile. Oh, it's a Kroken. That's why. Which again is interesting for my relationship with some of those, you know, my Riff Tamson dislike is sometimes I have to challenge that myself, because for every Riff Tamson I don't like, there's Carge that I celebrate. And this is, of course, during the when you meet Lando in the first Sabacc game at the lodge up there on Vandor. You get the game gets going, and I was just watching this morning. Great music, it starts kicking in. Just some good comedy. There's a lot, again, treasure trove of weirdos all through that lodge there is, and through that game, including the, I think, even still to say, unnamed kind of fox mouse character that's one of the many characters Warwick Davis plays in the movie. It's kind of nestling up against Han. It's a great character. Carge,
I think of him as a little bunny guy.
Little bunny guy. That's it's a great way. Love that character. But Carge is the one that gets upset and eats his cards. And I'll tell you, you know, I like high concept comedy. Comedy is a form of language to me. I also like just silly, stupid stuff as well. And this is one of those like, wait, what? Did it just eat its cards because it got so mad? Yeah, because it's a crocodile. And you're going to love it because it's Star Wars. I love Carge. I've grown to love Carge. I love that movie. I love that sequence. And I love the cutaway. Arr! He's probably going, Carge. And then if you kind of read the description in like the Solo visual guide, like it explains it. Carge is prone to fits of anger. He's got a temper problem. So it works really well for me.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's a great like Muppet Show bit, right?
Yeah.
And you know, talking about comedy, I love when the silly meets with the like darker and serious, and it serves a purpose of. It's showing Han and Lando just making chumps of everybody else, right? And you get the contrast between like, oh yeah, he's got a little, he's got a card eating mouth, so he chews him up like a little paper shredder. So it is a silly comedy bit, but it comes from that darkness of like, I know that fury. If I could do that to a video game controller, there's some times I would have chewed up a video game controller, right?
I was just going to say, as someone who's gotten over, I don't throw controllers anymore, but it happens. It's real. I'm not proud of it. I get Carge, and Carge gets me.
Yeah, it's just a great picture of silly fury, but it is fury.
Yeah. Silly Fury indeed. And then again, the design, Jake Lunt Davies designed the character. So yes, not only the crocodile kind of face and bill and beak, if you will, but the goggles, green eyes. And then if you see like the standing up picture, he's got just a real fashionable coat on, fur lined coat, real classic Star Wars kind of look and design. And Carge has got some swag to me.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody, I think, understandably gravitates to old Therm Scissor Punch, but Carge is the one who's got some cool action.
I agree with that. So, firmly on my list at number three, but now we're up to your number two favorite weirdo in Star Wars.
Okay, my number two is a bit different. You know, it was hard because we've had good weirdos in every kind of Star Wars there is, but this one, for me, comes from the Clone Wars. I think I was so invested in the episode the first time I watched it, I didn't quite see this character. Mm. And then I saw this character and appreciated this character in a specific viewing. There was a window where and this was a couple of years ago now, when the Clone Wars was on Netflix and there was like a warning like, oh no, the Clone Wars is going to leave at the end of this month.
Right.
And I kind of dropped what I was doing because at that point I had just watched through the whole series once. He's like, I gotta rewatch a couple of my favorite arcs. Mm-hmm. So I watched the whole Gathering, Ahsoka, and the Younglings arc. By the time you get to the rescue, the episode Bound for Rescue, the Jedi are on Florum with Hondo dealing with all that. And they disguise themselves in a circus, Prego's Traveling World of Wonder. And I remember, I think my wife was out of town, and I think I was like really power watching these, and I think it was like 2 a.m. And I sat up on the couch and went, is that a Gamorrean clown? And it was. This character is known on Wikipedia as unidentified Gamorrean clown, and is just the Gamorrean guards we have come to know and love, but painted up like a human clown. There's so much to love about Clone Wars, but I've had like so many of those moments where like, did I see that? Did that really happen? You know, is Darth Maul fighting some Boba Fett guys? Yeah, that really happened. And is that Gamorrean a clown? Yeah, that really happened. There's a Gamorrean clown, and it makes the world a better place. So I had to put him up here. Is high on my list of best background weirdos.
No, look, I got to tell you, I'm glad you've taken a look at the animated side of this. I did, and we've been reviewing the Clone Wars episodes on the Clone Wars Report. So I thought, okay, I'm a little bit more focused on the Clone Wars because there's just so much in the Clone Wars. You're gonna miss not just arcs and episodes, but the background weirdos. And I was like, I feel I'm underrepresenting the Clone Wars or even Rebels in our list here, or Resistance, which you've gone to with OP. But and I saw this come across and I went, nah, Joseph got it. Yeah, this is the one. Unidentified Gamorrean clown. not scary at all. Not big, hellacious, monstrous pig guard. Well, not a guard. A circus performer as a clown. I don't have a clown problem like other people do, but that's got to be haunting some people's Star Wars nightmares.
No, for sure. And one of the shots of him has just got that really classic sort of a tragic clown. Like, you know, the Gamorrean clown might go out there and make other people laugh, but it seems like this clown is terrified deep inside.
Yeah.
In fact, the entry is really short on Wikipedia. This Gamorrean clown worked in Prego's traveling world of wonder when Prego and his company had to escape because of the Jedi initiates causing trouble for Hondo and Akko. This clown seemed frightened. Delightful. So that's my number two, Ken.
Great number two. We're up to my number two, and here we go. So this is the you could debate a background weirdo or not. I couldn't take this character off my list, and I think we've talked about it before in other episodes. I do believe in when we're ranking other kind of things in Star Wars. But I just think you think weirdo, and you think a weirdo that will challenge you and your love of Star Wars. It makes you think about what you love about Star Wars. But this is a character that tells a story, both in the design, the face, and what happens to them. And it's a character that I know for you too, Joseph, had some, again, really challenged us back in 1999, The Phantom Menace. I'm going to the Padres. And Ben Quadraneros, as Greg Proop says, as Fodes at Bede, but Quadraneros is probably how it's more, it's spelled more that way. But Ben Quadraneros, oh yes, that pod racer who just can't get it going and is frustrated in the process. I see you, Ben. I feel you. I'm there with you. I love this Star Wars weirdo.
Yeah, no, he has so grown on me. And yes, there were many things when Phantom Menace came out, and we've talked about it many times growing up with that original trilogy perspective and being more into like the depth and the lightsabers and how will Anakin fall, and is Obi-Wan going to be more the Han Solo character? Is he going to really chase danger? And then you go and see some aesthetic that's just much more fun and goony and silly. And at first you're like, no. But then over the years, that's one of the great things that Lucas did is Lucas said, no, the palette of Star Wars is going to expand. And Ben Quadraneros all by himself is this huge brushstroke. That says, this is Star Wars 2, you know, absolute cartoon face. I'm looking up the old show. A lot of people our age, said he looked like he was from Wacky Races, but now I love him. The utter weirdness of a species whose almost entire body is their face.
Yeah.
just makes me laugh. And performed through all the animation, everything performed so well. That nervous little look over the side of the pod when it won't start. Yes. Chef's kiss.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's, the palette of Star Wars is going to expand as the same as his cheeks. I think it's fair to say. And yes, no, there's everything that you might not like about the prequels could be represented in this character. I totally get that. And Jar Jar and others notwithstanding, but I totably get it. I'm with you. And I probably had, but over the years, like you said, the comedy of it, the story, it's a story. It's a story that's happened. It's its own adventure. And Ben Quadraneros is a good pod racer. He was billed as Sebulba's arch nemesis, right? On that poster in the Clone Wars. So there's a lot to this character, but it wasn't his day. Ben Quadraneros is no good pod race day. And I just love it. And it just adds something. You know, there's other things. I love the pod race. We've talked about a lot here, but there's some, you know, Fodes and Beads still maybe not my favorite. And some of the, you know, I can get into the weeds on that. Ben Quadraneros is no longer in those weeds for me. He's a full grown flower bed of beauty. And I love him.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Absolutely. 3 cheers for Ben Quadraneros. Ben. With or without an R in his name, we say Quadraneros.
Ben Quadraneros. Yes, yes. So that is my number two, which means we're almost to our number one favorite weirdos in Star Wars. But first, we're going to cover some honorable mentions. Joseph, what are some on your list?
Yeah, no, this was a difficult one because I often like to just kind of go with my gut. Who are my faves? Who absolutely has to be on there? And then I sometimes like, ooh, but I really want to be representative of all the different parts of Star Wars. So some of the ones who were very close, Ori Marco or Pruneface. That's a character that I've always, I had a relationship to the action figure because it was one of the last ones I got when things were really dwindling in the mid to late 80s. And he was just the action figure Pruneface back in the day. And I hadn't seen him in the movie. And then I eventually had to go search him out, and just a great weird design with his face is very, very prune like. And then and then he's got the eye patch just. And I love that he has, popped up since and his species Drusillian has popped up since. Going to something a little bit more modern, going to Rogue One. This is a character that I think we definitely noticed, but I think we really found and celebrated doing Databank Brawl, and that is Beezer Fortuna.
Yes.
Obviously, all of the partisans and the people hanging out there in Saw's compound are not doing great. Yeah. But Beezer really looks in that one shot where he's just dazed. And then you read his Databank entry, and you read that he is, he's Bib's cousin. And things aren't going well, as you can tell by his desiccated leku, which I have remembered that turn of phrase in all the years since we did that Databank Brawl entry. So I love me some Beezer Fortuna. One more, and then I'll turn it over to you. This is going back to a classic that I think needs to be celebrated more from the very original Star Wars film. It's the alien who purchases Luke's land speeder, Weoslia.
Yes, yes.
Weoslia is, you know, definitely one of those. Lucas is saying, hey, we gotta need as many just really strange, really different alien figures. And then Weoslia is just like this, like if the football that Charlie Brown's trying to kick had a face and tentacles. It's so weird, and it's way in the background. And not that all the farmers aren't wearing, you know, what we later come to think of as Jedi robes, you know, and we got some headcanon that the Jedi dress plainly as the people, like farmers. But Weoslia looks like, is that an undercover Jedi? Like, it's really Jedi robey.
100%. Yes. Big Jedi energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Big Jedi energy from Weoslia and their absolutely bonkers head.
Yeah. That is awesome. Great start to this. I got some runner ups here as well. I am going to Rogue One. So we just did a deep dive on, the bravery of Rogue One. Check out that episode this past week if you haven't had a chance to. Also put it up on YouTube. And I love this character. And I can't say this character's full name because I don't have the time, let alone the ability. But Pow from Rogue One. Pow or Powadok Draba Taye. It goes on and on and on and on. I don't mean to be disrespectful to this wonderful character. This is the male Drabatan soldier in the Rogue One ground crew that hits the ground on Scarif. And when the going gets tough or you need a little pumped up energy there because the fight is important, you get Pow yelling, Skaskala! Skaskala! And he's got the little kind of shotgun blaster that's Tabana gas infused.
What?
Yeah, and it is, I love that weapon. It's actually one of my favorite in Star Wars there. I'm trying to get the actual model number up there because I'm sure someone's going to want to know that. It's like a little shotgun, just boom, boom, boom. I just, for all the things in Rogue One that we celebrate, I got to tell you, man, this is just a classic Star Wars alien. And just the presentation, the design, the name, the screaming, all of it. And I root for Pow all the time. And, you know, probably not a good end to Pow's existence. You know, we get that. I just love Pow being part of the fight to free the galaxy.
Yeah, no, and we only have so many aliens there. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Beastan, of course, that we all cherish. But Pow's really doing some heavy lifting with that screaming, and those blaster details are great.
Yeah, and Beastan, you know, deserves a lot of headlines, of course. A little great character, but I love Pow. I really do celebrate. I got to say it right, Skaskala. all right, so moving on, going to Solo again, Rala Keeley, who is that's a great Star Wars weirdo, played by a great real life weirdo, Clint Howard. I don't mean weirdo again in a bad term, just this is Clint Howard's career mostly now, just popping up in his brother's movies, playing these weird little fun characters. And so I loved Clint Howard in Star Wars as Rala Keeley, related to Mala Keeley. You got to think so. Rala Keeley, of course, running the droid fighting pit that L3 does not enjoy. I love Lando let go of the mean man's face. Everything about the sequence is very classic Star Wars weirdo. So definitely Rala Keeley for me.
Absolutely. And this is a good background weirdo with a good line, right? You never had it so good.
Yeah. I'll flip your switch. Good luck finding it. Oh, adult humor in Star Wars. All Christine Belfry and Riley Keeley. A couple of quick ones on the list. So I'll go back to you and then come back to me here. I'd go to Force Awakens again. Grumgar and Quiggold over at Maz's Castle. Two separate things. Grumgar, just the big game hunter who's big himself, hanging out with Bazine Natel. Just love that look. One of the first kind of reveals in the Force Awakens lead up in the press. And then we love Sidana Thano. That's a great character, wonderful design. Returns in Rise of Skywalker in the background there, but his co-pilot is his first mate there, Quiggold, with the peg leg and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy Vogon design. Weirdo I love.
Yeah, and almost an important weirdo in Finn's life. Mm-hmm. Almost flew away with Quiggold.
Bit of a different. There's a couple more on your list, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Rise of Skywalker, and this is a background weirdo who is maybe a background weirdo we've met before. I think there's controversy around this, and this is the character Rothgar Deng. Even before I became aware of the controversy, I just love this guy. He's in the kind of little bar area that is attached to the droid shop. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, he's got some kind of a brownish armor, cybernetic arms, a weirdly kind of heightened waist area. Yeah. But then it's his face that really puts him over the top. He has a face that looks like it is stuck in a permanent grimace.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about Tito and Opeepit grumbling because they're having a bad day, a bad moment. Rothgar Deng is this picture of somebody who is now having a permanently bad life.
Yes.
And it just makes them pop, absolutely pop. Mm. And if you're not familiar with it, his armor looks similar to another beloved background weirdo at the time from Empire Strikes Back, Dengar. The name, obviously, Rothgar Deng invokes Dengar. Mm-hmm. And there's been some cheeky mentions from in the visual dictionary from Pablo Hidalgo, which makes some possible connections.
Yeah.
That he's a Corellian who has been subjecting himself to cybernetic replacements, mm-hmm. in turn to black market surgical clinics to replace damaged body parts. And you know, the character was just fun to look at, all by itself, but now with a little bit of that, is that Dengar? So weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's off-putting in a Star Wars, wonderful Star Wars way.
Yeah. Two more for me. Therm Scissor Punch, just had to shout out. Like, it's one of those names that just, like, it's a great design, and it's just a name that owns the fun and the weirdness. I think Karge does manage to take the spotlight, but Therm Scissor Punch, great name, great design. And final, I had to go back to the classic. You know, the Cantina was great. And then we didn't have as much of a collection of background weirdos. We didn't have a spot for it in Empire Strikes Back. And then Return of the Jedi was this explosion. And I think one of the weirdest who always needs to be mentioned, of course, is Monoman, a male Amani headhunter who worked as a bounty hunter. And if you don't immediately able to picture it, a weirdly flat tapeworm. Two like little red dots and a little slash for a mouth. He looks like you made his mouth out of like deli cold cuts. His whole face is deli cold cuts and like some pitted olives for eyes. And then he's has a staff that's got like heads and skulls on it. And the absolute definition of a great background weirdo.
Totally. And one of our friend Van Williams' favorite little Star Wars background characters too. So
absolutely.
Couple quick ones for me. And then actually one I think I submit that I just submit as a Force Center choice, as a overall brand decision. Neeper's fan pick in Canto Bite. And look, I guess that is all because of you highlighting him on that Databank Brawl episode for us. I can never not see Neeper's fan pick now. Just kind of this old gumshoe investigator going around Canto Bite with that permanently open mouth face.
So permanently shocked mouth. Yeah.
This one, it's an odder choice. This is what's runner up, but the Hoth Gonk droid. I've been trying to find the actual, cause you can, there's figures of them. There's one, you can get a figure pack with the Treadwell droid in Hoth, but it's the Gonk droid. And one of the opening shots when 3PO is kind of running about in R2 and there's a gonk droid, but on top of the gonk droid is like these giant, like almost frog eyes on an extra.
Yes.
And it's so weird in its own way. The gonk droids themselves are kind of background weirdos that have been with us for 40 plus years. But that gonk droid does not get its due for just being a weird design and just kind of bebopping along with extra appendages. I've always been fascinated by it.
Yeah, that is a good one. I thought you were going to go for the double wide, the plonk.
The plonk. Yeah, no, that's good too. I mean, again, the gonk droids, just as a series themselves, are pretty wonderfully weird, but I've always loved that. And then Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think they definitely deserve highlighting the gonk droids.
Gonk. Gonk, gonk, gonk. This one I'm submitting as, again, a Force Center pick. Goss Tours from Force Awakens and the Resistance and beyond. But really, I'm submitting the Mike Black edition of this character on the Databank Brawl. And if you've never seen our animated Databank Brawl episode that Brian Ward put together, it's on our YouTube channel. Please check it out. It's just one of my favorite little things. Brian put so much into it. And in doing our Databank Brawl, we had Constable Zuvio versus, who's also, as you could say, is a background weirdo, and Goss Tours meet for a fight on Jakku. And the fateful moment where you just said, Mike, what does Goss Tours sound like? And Mike goes into this, I'm kind of mad at Goss Tours. It's the character's voice. It's all I hear whenever I see that character in the actual movie. So thank you, Mike, for giving us Goss Tours.
Yeah, Goss Tours, a wonderfully designed weirdo, physically in the most delightful, fun way. Then the name goes with it. And then the fact that of all the characters they could make for Force Awakens, never put out a Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, but you can get Goss Tours.
Yes. Yes.
That's absolutely great.
So that is our runners up. So now we're going to go to our number one choice on our favorite weirdo Star Wars ranked edition. I'll go with my number one so Joseph can close the show with his number one. It is a fan favorite around these parts. We celebrate this character a lot, but I wanted to officially just put him down in a ranked and mark what we believe about this character in history, in the annals, going to The Rise of Skywalker and Claude. Oh, Claude. I got to tell you, when I first saw the promotional pic that had Greg Grunberg's Snap Wexley kind of giving a weird, what's this guy about shot? And it was like coming. I think it was at Celebration. I remember we all laughed. We had a good time. And I had equal parts kind of, that's kind of weird, funny. And I wonder what's going on there. But deep down, maybe hidden from everyone, even listeners of Force Center, I saw that and went, oh, no. Oh God, what is that? That might be bad. That might be really bad. We might be looking at a silly, silly movie. What is going to happen here? And then, it moved to the back of my brain and then Claude shows up and it's just perfect. Everything about Claude, just the Claude isn't, he's not a joke. He's a functional character with respect and a job to do, but also doubt. And can you pull it off? Come on, Claude, we need you. And the way Oscar Isaac just plays off of Claude, and the way Claude reacts, I know it's one of your favorite moments, Joseph, just kind of a Claude reaction. And again, how does Claude do all those repairs? We don't know. He's just a thumb, a gooey thumb with some dealy doppers sticking out and some big, wonderful eyes that just pull you in. Claude is absolutely a Star Wars weirdo that I love.
He is so great. I'm so glad that you highlighted him. I love that he has, only a few minutes in or moments in Rise of Skywalker, but every single one is gold from the introduction where he's like, and then, in that same flight, when the Falcon's doing turns, we get a quick shot of him basically screaming. Yeah. Ah! And then at the end where he is offered a hug. It's so nice that he is offered the hug. He clearly accepts it.
Yeah. Yes.
So great. So great. And to me, like, just really important. Obviously, a lot of discussion to be had about Rise of Skywalker, which we've had and will have again. But I think there was, whatever else you may think, I think there's truly an effort in that film to celebrate everything that has come before. and Claude was an important part of that, of like, let's add another, you know, brushstroke to the palette of these really fun, really different characters. And Claude does it. And man, that Greg Grunberg shot, because he's pointing at him, gesturing at him with his thumb.
Yeah.
And I always like, that's the image I think of whenever I see anybody on Twitter quote tweet something that they want to make fun of, like, this guy. It's the ultimate quote tweet image, and I thank Claude for that.
I'm still waiting for my Claude plush. I want that.
And you deserve it.
I deserve it. So that is my number one choice for my favorite weirdo in Star Wars. But sir, what is your number one?
My number one is probably not a surprise to people who listen to Force Center often, and I apologize for not being surprising, but I had to be honest. My favorite background weirdo is Lulilo Primock. Lulilo is the singer, the tiny Galusian, who is singing on Dryden Voss's space yacht, The First Light. We saw him with Rodia Ventafoli, I think, in one of the trailers, I think. And I just was, I just thought, this is perfect, because he was in the grand tradition of Star Wars weirdo, but taking it up a notch, because he's not just a weird little frog guy. He's a weird little frog guy who is floating upside down in a jar full of fluid, right? So just right there, he's saying from inside a repulsor lift fitted flask filled with formaldehyde. Beautiful. So just the visual. But then to go back to Cave, that sometimes for me, it's about the activity. And it was clear from the trailer that he's performing. And like, please let him be an old school crooner with a nice, deep, melodic voice. And you've told this story. You got to see Solo at the premiere. And then we went to a press screening together. And the magic happened. Lulilo Primock is a deep, bassy crooner. And and I looked over at you, and it was great. It was great that you got to know that I was going to get what I wanted. Not that it's always about getting what you wanted, but sometimes when it happens, it's nice. This is a character, but before the movie came out, I jokingly named Vat Weirdo. It's just kind of a fun Star Wars tradition now when stuff comes out, kind of picking your favorite, your weirdo, your favorite fun person in the background. And I was just having fun talking about Vat Weirdo. And then, you know, when he comes out and Pablo Hidalgo's giving him this great name, Lulilo Primock, you know, referencing the actual singer Louis Prima. Really, really great name for a really great, fun character that just captures the fun of background weirdos.
Love it. I'm never tired of you talking about your love of that character. And yeah, you told the story that it's still one of my favorite moments, just realizing your dreams were coming true. Like, it almost got me emotional. Like, Joseph's been wanting this, and you manifested it in reality. And it's just one of the things of why, man, not to turn this into a Solo motion picture stand podcast here, but love that movie. And it's so Star Warsy, and it's so just tied into so many different parts of the franchise and we love. And that is one of it. That whole sequence, the Dryden Voss party, everything about it, the dark side of it, the fun part, Chewie double fist and drinks. It's everything about it. And at the center of it is Vat Weirdo singing that song, which I love. Now you can get the actual version out there too. So love it. Lulilo Primock, we tip our hat and drinks to you.
That's right. And absolutely a great one. Thank you, Lulilo Primock.
Thank you indeed. There you have it. That is our list, our favorite weirdos in Star Wars. What is your list? We'd love to know, because quite frankly, we would do this list next week. It might be a little different. Maybe a Lulilo Primock and Claude stay on it. Maybe they go in the Hall of Fame. And you know what? The great thing is, Joseph, as more shows and movies and books and comics and cartoons come on out, we'll have more weirdos to choose from. So we'll most likely update this list. Let us know out there if you have some on your list. You can use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked on Twitter, and you follow us at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. You can like our Facebook page. You can also get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Get a free audiobook and support the show. Get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us directly. at patreon.com/forcecenterpodcast. Available in a lot of spots. Try Amazon Music. Try Spotify if you like listening to your podcast in a little bit different spots than the old standbys. Those ones are trying to be standbys too. You can follow me at Catnapsock or go to catnapsock.com. Joseph, where can they go to find you and all of your wonderful celebration of the weirdos of the galaxy?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw. It's been a while, so maybe I'll post a picture of Claude or Lilo Primarchin and put some joy out into social media. For all my other comedy adventures, you can find links to everything on my website at josephscrimshaw.com.
That is right. So for all the weirdos in the galaxy, thanks for listening. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.